everybody. This is Mike O'Neill, the Money Coach from Money Coach LLC. And I want to talk to you today about 10 rules for riches. That's our lesson today, 10 rules for riches. First of all, we want to talk about what is money good for? What is it good for? You can't eat it. You can't drink it. You can't live without it. Well, the way I see it is money is really only good for making reality from dreams. So, let's think about why that is. You know, some people talk about money's like evil, or if you have a lot of money, it makes you an evil person. I don't see how that's true. You see, money is like a rock. You know, it sounds funny. Money is like a rock. I can pick up a rock, and I can throw it through a glass window. I can break your windshield with it. I can hit you on the head with it, knock you out. Or I can take that rock and a bunch of its friends, and I can build a patio with it. I can build a hospital with it. It's just a rock. The rock's got no feelings. It's just a rock. But rocks are good for building things. Money is good for building things. Money's good for turning dreams into realities. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about dreams. I have a dream today with respect to Dr. Martin Luther King and his great I Have a Dream speech, which he gave on August 28, 1963. I have a dream today. I have a dream where I'm not afraid to answer the phone because it might be some collection agency berating me because of my unpaid bills. I have a dream today where I am in control of my debt and have a plan where I'm going to be debt-free in 2 or 3 years. I have a dream where my kids will be able to go to college without building a debt bill that will stay with them the rest of their life. I have a dream where I will live in retirement in dignity without having to depend on my children for housing or sustenance. I have a dream where my life depends on me and not some government agency and what they choose to, quote-unquote, give me for my income. You see, I have a dream today, and that's what we're going to do with money, is we're going to turn your dreams into realities, and that's what it's good for. A couple of things I want to start off with. One, when we start thinking about money, let's get into this question. It says, are you happy? Are you happy? If the answer is yes, then you need to keep doing whatever it is you're doing. If the answer is no, then I got to ask you another question. Do you want to be happy? And if the answer is no, then again, keep doing whatever it is you're doing. But if you're not happy and you want to be happy, you're going to have to change something. And today I'm talking to all people that are not happy, they want to be happy, which means you got to be willing to change something. All right, I got a few quotes here. One of them is, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. That's from yours truly, Mike O'Neill. From Socrates, he who is not content with what he has will not be content with what he doesn't have. And then Mark Twain said, it's no sin to be poor, but it's damn inconvenient. And it's going to come down to an underlying principle. And those of you who've listened to some of my lessons here, you're going to know, I'm going to ask you this. Who's in control of your life? And are you going to be a victim of your environment? Or are you going to choose to be in control? And this underlying principle in this lesson and all of my lessons is this. You must control your life, or it will control you. All right, a couple more things that we're going to got to get out of the way before we get into the 10 rules for riches. And one of these is the law of income. Let's talk about that just a little bit. See, the income stream is what everybody wants. It's what everybody says they want. I want a new income stream. But it's not really what you need. You see, there's a word for people who have that huge house and they've got a Porsche and they've got a vacation home and they've got all the fancy jewelry and the watches and everything, and that word is broke. So the first three rules that we're going to talk about today are all components of what I call the law of income. That law of income is this. It's not really what you make that matters. It's what you keep. I'll say that again. It's not what you make that matters. It's what you keep. Okay. So rule number one. You got to pay yourself first. You see, you pay your bills. You pay your electric bill. You pay your house payment or your rental payment. You do that. You take care of your kids. You take care of everybody else. But you never take care of yourself. As a result of this, you always have, quote unquote, too much month at the end of the money. Therefore, the only thing you can do, the only way you can make that work, is that you've got to pay yourself first. Now, that's rule number one. So think about that just a minute. When we're working on our budget, when you're working on your budget, the first two things on that budget, on my budget, is always, what am I going to give to charity and what am I going to pay myself? And then we work our budget off of everything else. So rule number one, you must pay yourself first, because if you don't pay yourself, you never will. All right, now once you pay yourself first, you got to come to the second step. That's the B word. Yeah, I know, budget. We've already mentioned it. But you're going to have to track things. You're going to have to spend according to a plan. And that plan is called a budget. Since you've paid yourself first, you now have less cash to bring to pay for your bills. So you got to be smarter than you were before. You got to think this through. You got to plan what we're going to do. And that's where the budget must enter your life. So rule number two in our 10 rules for riches is you must control your spending. All right, rule number three. We've got our budget set up. We've decided that we're going to pay ourselves first. The next thing that we have to do is we've got to get our arms around and control our debt. We got to control our debt. It's that simple. And there's ways of doing this. I've got it set up in my spreadsheet, but the easiest way to do this is to set that up into it's called the debt snowball, and you list all your debts from smallest to largest, and you pay the smallest one off first, regardless of what the interest rate is. I know there's some of you that's going to say, no, from a mathematical standpoint, it would be quicker, it'd be cheaper to spend to pay those off per the interest rate. And that's true, it would be cheaper. But what we have found is that if you do it this way, if you do it from a standpoint of smallest to largest, you get small victories first. And when you get those small victories first, you tend to stick with the program. So list all your debts, smallest to largest, pay off the smallest one first, and kind of get this going. Control your debt. Work a plan to get debt free. Now we'll cover that a lot more when we get into the debt lesson. But just know that what we've got to do, it's an integral part of if you're ever going to have money anymore, and that is control your debt. In fact, when looking at millionaires, people that have money, people that have lots of money, people that have done a good job of controlling money, and I'm not talking about people that inherited it, I'm talking about people that are first generation millionaires. The number one thing that they have said that's helped them to be millionaires is they got out of debt. So rule number three, got to be control your debt. Now, that brings us to rule number four. Now let's go back just a little bit. There's a law, it's called Murphy's Law, that I'm very, very much, I guess, to say a fan of is probably not true, but anyway, Murphy's Law says anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Anything that can go wrong will. And some corollaries to that is multiple things can go wrong. The one that will cause the most damage will go wrong at the worst possible time. You see, nothing's as easy as it looks, and everything's going to take longer than you think. And then, of course, Murphy's golden rule is whoever has the gold makes the rules. So, since we believe these things to be true, things are going to go wrong. Things are going to go wrong in your life. Your car is going to need new tires. Your kids are going to grow. Christmas is coming. You know, you're going to have to spend some for that. You've got things, most often things happen with a car that just create issues that we don't know about. The kids are going to need braces. You know, something happens and a baseball gets thrown through your window. Life happens. And that's what this Murphy Fund's all about. Anything that can go wrong will. And if multiple things can go wrong, the one that will cause the most damage will go wrong at the worst possible time. I know that it's going to happen. In fact, 7 out of 10 of us will probably, 7 out of 10 of us will have a major financial problem. $2,000 to $10,000, it's going to hit us in the next 10 years. And I've heard it said, Mike, you know, you're just so down on this. You know, you need to be more positive. Okay, I'm positive that 7 out of 10 of us are going to have major financial problem between $2,000 and $10,000 that's going to hit us in the next 10 years. So, since we know that's going to happen, we know it's going to happen, create a Murphy Fund. A fund for Murphy, because Murphy is going to reach up and bite you right in the budget. So what is a Murphy Fund? A Murphy Fund is a cash fund that can be inconvenient enough to use only when Murphy's has entered your life. Normally, this is going to be a savings account. It's $2,000. $2,000 you put into a savings account. You keep it there. You let it sit there, but it's always available in the event you need it. I know. I've heard people say, but Mike, you know, I can't take the time. I've never had $2,000 in the bank at one time. You can do it if you're willing to make it a priority. So, are you willing to do the steps that you have to do in order to become known as quote-unquote rich? If you are, one of the steps is you've got to create a Murphy Fund. You use it for cash emergencies. You use it instead of going into debt with a credit card. And after you use your Murphy Fund, you always replenish. So rule number 4, you've got to create a Murphy Fund. Okay, so since Murphy is in control of the universe, and things are going to happen, there's some other things that we need to think about. And these are, we need to buy insurance when appropriate. We need to look at health insurance, because chances are, at some point in time, we're going to get sick. We need to think about disability insurance. Actually, you're more likely, from the time you're 25 to the time you're 65, you're more likely to become disabled during that time span than you are to lose your life. And if you're the breadwinner, you probably need to try to cover disability insurance. Now disability insurance is kind of expensive, but you need to do it. You need to do both long-term and short-term disability. And there's different ways that we can cover that. And we'll talk about that when we get to that portion of the lesson. But the thing is that you need to think about disability insurance. Talk to your insurance agent. The same person that sells health insurance probably sells disability insurance. So buy insurance for needs when appropriate. So health insurance, disability insurance, life insurance. Please, please, please buy life insurance. When you're just starting out, go buy term. Term is ridiculously cheap. If you're 20 years old, you can get $100,000 worth of term for $15. Now here's the catch about term life insurance. It is cheap. It is inexpensive, but as you get older, it becomes much, much, much more expensive. So you need to think about it. If you want to have insurance at the time that you turn 70, you're going to have to do something else besides term. But to starting out, when you're starting out down on our journey of getting control of our finances and starting to invest in those finances, buy term insurance. Buy it just for protection. It's a great deal. It's a great deal. Now, how much should you buy? Well, what I really recommend that you do is you take a however much that your salary that you have, and trying to figure out what how much it would cost to replace that salary. For instance, if you make $50,000 and that's what you bring into the household, and suddenly something happened to you, then what figure would it take to make that $50,000? And if you think that you can get 5% on your money guaranteed year after year after year, that'd take $1 million. $1 million times 1 million times 5% is about $50,000. So think about that as a rule, what you need to do to replace your income. That'll replace your income full time. Now that's true for the breadwinner. Well, how about the spouse that's not the breadwinner? Don't forget her. Don't forget her. It's critical. And let me tell you why it's critical. If you've got kids and something happened to your spouse, you're going to have to go hire a nanny. You're going to have to go hire Mary Poppins. You're going to have to go hire somebody to help you out, because the quote-unquote non-working spouse, the spouse that works into the home, brings value to that relationship. And you've got to replace that value. And the only way you can replace it is you've got to go buy some help. So absolutely, go take care of that. Nothing less than $400,000 of life insurance on a spouse that does not work outside the home. No less than $400,000. That's just something to think about. All right, renter's insurance. If you've got a home, obviously, please get homeowner's insurance. It's relatively cheap. It's a great deal. Get homeowner's insurance. If you rent, you need to get what's called renter's insurance. See, if you rent an apartment and you've got everything that you own in the world is sitting in that apartment, and that apartment burns down, you've got nothing. And the apartment complex is not liable for your things. So what renter's insurance is renter's insurance is insurance for the contents of what you own inside that apartment. It's a incredibly inexpensive type of insurance. Call your insurance agent that sells you car insurance and get renter's insurance. All right, car insurance. You must get car insurance to cover you, whether you owe any money on that car or not. You need to get insurance, one, because you've got to get liability insurance that covers the other guy in the event that there is an accident. If you happen to hit somebody and you're at fault, you are going to be obligated to replace or fix the other person's car, and you're obligated to take care of medical expenses that they may have as a result of that accident. That's going to drain everything you have very, very quickly. So what we do is you get car insurance to do that. Liability covers the other guy. Collision covers your car. Now, some people will tell you that if you have an older car, you don't need to worry about collision insurance on your car. But I will tell you, I've got several cars, and I have collision on every one of them because it just seems to be a good deal. It seems to be a good deal. If you drive a lot, if you drive much at all, chances are pretty good that at some point in time somebody's going to bump into you, or you're going to bump into somebody. And that collision insurance makes sure that your car is taken care of. So get that car insurance. Secondly, we have liability insurance. Now, this is a general liability insurance. It's often called an umbrella policy. Basically, what this does is this covers you like an umbrella, and it is a barrier between you and the other guy who happens to want to sue you. So for instance, let's say that somebody comes over to your house for an afternoon cookout and they slip and fall and break an ankle off your patio. They may turn around and try to sue you for those medical expenses, particularly if they don't have any type of insurance, health insurance. They're going to try to sue you, and what's going to happen is that without some type of an umbrella policy, liability policy, you may be on the hook for some of those expenses. But with the umbrella policy, and I think the least you can get is $1 million. I think I carry several million dollars on a liability insurance on my umbrella policy. But the idea is that if somebody sues me for whatever reason, I ran into him with my automobile, and their medical expenses are over and above what my car insurance is, or they get hurt at my house, or whatever it is, and they decide that they need to sue me, and I'm the solution to their financial problems. Then what happens is that the insurance company that holds that umbrella policy writes the first check. So if they sue me for $1 million, and I've got $3 million worth of an umbrella policy, that umbrella policy is going to cover that entire thing. So it's a good thing to do. It's also something that's very, very inexpensive, and probably one of the best buys out there in the insurance world today. So rule number five, buy insurance when appropriate. Okay, rule number six, and this is probably one of the rules that will separate anybody that ever has money from those that don't have money. I like to say it's one of the rules that will separate the haves from the have-nots. And this is the rule of investment. And it's rule number six, invest monthly every month. I'll say that again. Rule number six, invest monthly every month. Now, you pay yourself first thing. I recommend paying yourself at least 10%, but you pay yourself first. That's rule number one. And you put that into a mutual fund every month. Every month is the key here. Every month is a key. If you take 10% that you pay yourself, put it into a mutual fund every month, you'll probably never see poverty. You'll probably never see poverty. And if you do that starting around 25, you'll probably be a very, very rich person by the time you retire. Now, let's go back to this invest monthly every month. The idea behind this is that some people say, well, I don't want to put it into I don't want to put it into to mutual funds. I don't want to put it into the market. Now, the only thing that we're putting into the market is we're putting money into the market that you're not going to be using for at least 5 years. And in fact, to start off with, this is mainly could be some type of retirement funds and a 401k and in a Roth IRA. But to start off with, we're going to use mutual funds. I recommend using mutual funds because they're liquid. You can get to them if you have to, but they're also a really, really good rate of return over the long haul. Over the past 15 years, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has averaged somewhere about 9.58, and I think the Standard & Poor's have averaged somewhere about 9.53. So over the long term, 15, 20 years, they produce a good rate of return. Now, that doesn't mean every year they're going to produce a good rate of return, and every year you may in fact lose money. But year after year after year, what happens is that over time you're going to tend to do well in the market in mutual funds. But if you need to invest every month. And the reason I'm so much into emphasizing this is to invest monthly every month is because this brings into play something called dollar cost averaging. So let's explain this just a minute. Let's say if you've decided to put $100 into the stock market. In the mutual funds every month. Okay, and let's say that mutual fund that you're interested in is $10. So what happens is that if that goes, you're buying 10 shares, right? $100, $10 a share, you bought 10 shares this month. That's great. Now, as the price goes up, let's say the price goes up to $15 a share, well, you can't buy 10 anymore. You're buying less. You're buying less. So that's fine. That the price goes up and you buy less number of shares, even though you're putting in the same amount of money. So as time goes on, let's say after a few months, you know that it starts to drop, and the price goes down to 10, again you buy 10 shares, and then the price goes down to $5 a month. $5, I'm sorry, $5 a share. You still put in $100, but instead of buying 10 shares, now you're buying 20 shares. So what's happening is that over time, your cost of ownership of that particular stock, because you're buying it every month, you're buying the cheaper shares at a quote-unquote fire sale, and you're buying fewer when the price is higher. So in effect, you're buying more at a lower price, buying less at a higher price. And your cost of ownership for those shares is going to be less. And what that means is that means that as the price goes up, you're going to have more shares that'll follow the market with it. So it's the best way by far to invest over a period of time is to invest on a very regular basis, and that's invest monthly, every month, rule number 6. All right, rule number 7. You see, rule number 7 is to allow yourself time and money to play. Now, this is very important because, you know, I've talked to some people that are so intent on getting out of debt, or they're so intent on controlling their finances, and what ends up happening is that they never do anything else. And all work and no play make Jack a dull boy, as you've heard it said. And life is meant to be lived, not just endured. So learn how to live your life. You see, money is important. Money is important. But as we talked about earlier, the money being a brick, the money being a rock, it's just a tool to be used. So money is important, but it's just a tool to be used. Never allow accumulating things to get in the way of living. We don't live to earn money. We earn money so we can enjoy living. So rule number 7, allow yourself time and money to play. Now that doesn't mean that every time you decide to take a vacation, you go into debt. That's not what I'm saying at all. You save up for those vacations. But it's got to be a part of your budget to go in and actually go play a little. It's okay. You need to do that. You need to do that. All right. Rule number 8, guard your investments with knowledge and commitment. Now, you're going to get lots of quote-unquote help from people that are going to try to help you spend your investments, or help you sell, help you buy things that they say will be investments. You're going to get lots of help. A lot of those people mean well, but never, ever, ever take advice from broke people, okay? And pay attention, guard your investments with knowledge and commitment. Treasurers are going to leave those who try to make it work in areas they don't know anything about. So if you put your money in things you don't understand, you don't know, you're going to lose your money. It's that simple. Money is going to flee those who try to make it work in areas you don't know anything about. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you had a friend of yours that came up and said, "All right, Mike, let me tell you something. I got this really good deal. I got this really wonderful deal. What it is we're buying diamonds from Africa, and we're buying them over there wholesale. We'll bring them over here. We sell them retail, and it's a great thing. It can't miss. Diamonds never go down in value. It's the way to do it. And I don't know anything about diamonds, but I know my friend. I trust him. And I said, sure, let's do it. Let's go ahead and do that. And he invests his money, and he invests a bunch of my money, and they go off, and they buy these diamonds wholesale. And by the time they get them over here, they figure out that the diamonds they bought from people that weren't quite as honest as they thought they were. They bought industrial diamonds and trying to sell them as recreational or pretty diamonds, ring diamonds, jewelry diamonds, and they're just not that high a quality. And they ended up losing everything they did. And the problem is, I didn't know anything about diamonds. So money's gonna leave if you try to make it work in areas you don't know anything about. So I don't know anything about diamonds, but I know stuff about the mutual funds. So I'm going to put money in mutual funds. And I'm going to learn about mutual funds. I'm going to pay attention. I'm gonna learn about them. I'm gonna commit to them. Money's gonna leave you if you invest in areas that seem to be too good to be true. If somebody comes up and says, "Look, I've got this great tip, guaranteed 30% return on your money. It's just wonderful, guaranteed 30%, Mike. You can't miss." Something's not right. If it's too good to be true, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Rule number 8, guard your investments with knowledge and commitment. Learn about them, commit to them, stay in the areas that you know about. Okay. Rule number 9, make yourself more valuable. Never, ever, ever stop learning. You know, Dr. Stephen Covey, in his great book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I think habit number 10 was the one that said, sharpen the saw. That's from Dr. Stephen Covey. Sharpen the saw. You've got to spend time to learn. You can't ever just continue working and never learn. Technology will leave you. You'll become less and less valuable. So you always got to keep yourself more valuable. Never stop learning. Another way of saying it is when you stop moving, you die. That particularly is is true of sharks, I suppose, but it's true of people too. When you stop moving, you die. Make yourself more valuable. Charles Tremendous Jones says you'll be the same person in 5 years as you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. From Charles Tremendous Jones. I'll say that again. You'll be the same person in 5 years as you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. There's an awful lot of people that the last nonfiction book they ever read is the one that they read in college. Don't do that. Never stop learning. There's a tremendous amount of nonfiction books out there that will teach you so much about yourself, about finances, about the directions you're going, what you should be doing, how people work, how people think. You've got to continue to read and never stop learning. Rule number 9, make yourself more valuable. Never ever stop learning. All right. Rule number 10. And this is so important. Before we get into this, let's think about the difference between wealth and riches. Wealth, in my definition, has always been that you're just amassing assets. You're just gathering assets together, and you're bringing you're massing your money, you're massing your cars, you're massing stuff together. You're rich. You're wealthy because you got lots of stuff. It's just stuff. Being rich means that you have some way to measure the quality and the fullness of your life. And that's very different than being wealthy with lots of stuff. One of the most valuable gifts in the world is to have a little 3-year-old come up and give you a hug and a kiss. It's just amazing. And you feel so good at that time because they've increased the richness of your life. Don't ever use money to measure richness. You can use money to measure wealth, your stuff, but never use money to measure richness. Rule number 10, give to others, because this is going to enrich your life. Plan to give. Don't just let it happen. You can give money, you can give time, you probably need to give both. You can give things that you have in the house. You know, you can help someone else, and that is going to enrich your life. So rule number 10, give to others. It'll enrich your life. So there they are, 10 rules to riches. I'll go over them again. Pay yourself before all others, 10%. I recommend 10%. But rule number 1, pay yourself before all others. Rule number 2, control your spending. Rule number 3, control your debt. Rule number 4, create a Murphy Fund. Rule number 5 is to buy insurance when appropriate. Rule number 6, the one that's going to differentiate the haves from the have-nots, invest monthly every month. Rule number 7, so that you will be able to get through this, rule number 7, allow yourself time and money to play. It's okay to play. Don't go into debt to do it. But it's okay to play. Rule number 8, guard your investments and knowledge with commitment. Rule number 9, make yourself more valuable. Never, ever, ever stop learning. Never stop reading. And finally, rule number 10, give to others, as this is going to enrich your life. Now, me as a money coach at Money Coach LLC, I do a variety of things, and I help people, teach people how to build their financial, their wealth. Hopefully, I give them ideas about how to increase their richness. I've got some services, one-on-one coaching. I've got a variety of seminars like this. I have packages that certainly you can learn. I have classes that I teach My Money Masters class is an 8-week series class. You need to jump on my website at www.moneycoachcorner.com and see when the next class is. But here's a thought I want to leave with you. What's the most likely thing you will do? Nothing. You'll do nothing with this information. You know what the worst thing it is that you can do? Nothing. So do something. Do something to make a change in your life. Remember we said that if you're not happy and you want to be happy, you got to change something. So do something. You can get started with me or you can do it by yourself, but take action today. If you want to work with me, send me an email. I'll give you a free 30-minute strategy session and we'll talk to see what I can do for you. There's a lot of things that I want for you. And one of the things that I truly want for you is I want you to become rich. Not just wealthy, but rich. So, this is Mike O'Neill, Money Coach LLC. Thanks for listening.